Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
It's Monday, 9:09 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. You got sound over there, Jack?
I got nothing, big guy.
You got nothing?
Got zero.
Nothing? I don't know. No headphones, huh?
No headphones today.
Should I go? We'll work on it. We'll see if we can get you going again. I don't know what's going on.
Are we on the air?
We are.
Good morning, Andy.
One of the problems, Jack, is people come in to the studio on the weekend not named me, and they push buttons and move things around. Bless their hearts, which is my grandma used to say that all the time when she was about to say something very mean. Bless their hearts. They push stuff and move things around, and then I get here on Monday, and nothing's where it's supposed to be. Drives me crazy.
Well,
so we'll fold around with some buttons. Okay. We'll get on the air here shortly. So
I'm just here.
I'm Andy Griffin. He's Jack Lancaster.
Hey, good morning. Welcome, 2 weeks in everybody. A row.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. Good to have you, man.
Yeah, it's fun.
I get people all the time say, I love having Jack on the air.
Well, he's thank awesome. You. I appreciate that.
So
it's good to be here.
Today we're going to talk a little bit about gas prices and why they are so dang expensive here in St. George.
Okay.
We'll talk about that.
I have theories on that.
In a little while. Jack has some theories. I have some theories. But before you get too mad about that, I will throw this out there. On July 1st, 2022, just over 3 years ago, it was $5.26 a gallon here. So it could be worse, all right? Joe Biden was president, and that explains most of it.
I remember breaking $5 a gallon.
Yeah, well, it says $5.26 in Utah on July 1st, 2022.
Oh, you were usually the most expensive in Utah.
Yeah. So we will talk about that in a bit. I also want to talk a little bit about the 21st century addictions. What are we addicted to now? Oh. It used to be smoking
this thing.
Alcohol.
This thing.
Ah, Jack is on it. He's got it. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes as well. I have a kind of article of the week for you on Intellectual Takeout by Jeff Minnick. He's my favorite author. He could write his way out of any kind of jam. The guy is good.
Uh-huh.
It's about arguing what a good man what is a good man, and he says doesn't matter, just be one. I like it. Anyway, we'll talk
be
about
good.
That
be live by the golden rule.
There were a couple of weird things that happened this weekend. First of all, this morning we were all sleeping 4 a.m. Not all of us, I guess, but most of us were sleeping at 4. The police issued a shelter in place at 4 a.m. for the area around milepost 11 off the freeway, which would be just into Washington City there. They said there was a Hispanic male. They said a heavyset Hispanic male. I don't know what that means exactly, but who was potentially armed and dangerous. Within a couple of hours, by the time I was up at 5, they said that the Hispanic male, well, actually it was about 5:30, that he was in custody and they had lifted the shelter in place. But
okay.
It's kind of a weird thing. Do you need to issue a shelter in place
at 4 a.m.?
4 a.m.? I don't know what the answer to that would be, because most people didn't even know this whole thing happened, right?
Yeah.
It was resolved by 5:30. Only reason I knew is I was already into work at that point, and I saw the stuff online. But
well, I guess the thing is if they didn't do it and something happened,
yeah,
then so
I would hope. I hate to say this, right? But this is not Mayberry, and you should lock your doors at night.
Yes.
And so the shelter in place basically is to tell people lock your doors and make sure. You know, don't go out.
Oh, and I've got another one for you.
Yeah, another one.
If you have a car with a garage door opener in it and you park it outside the garage,
that's dumb.
Lock it.
Better lock it. Well, even if you lock it, if you smash a window, it's one button and they're in your house.
That's true. That's true.
Lock the car and also lock the door that leads to the house from inside the garage.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That will help too.
Yeah.
I was talking.
It's time. It's just about time.
Yeah.
It's to give you time to do something.
Yeah.
You know, a lock exactly. Just slows the other guy down.
Yeah.
If he's determined.
Not perfect, not impervious, yeah. But like you said, it'll give you a little bit of time. The other thing that happened, there was a shooting yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Over off of Sunset by the Panda Express. Now, the story is, so officers.
There's a Panda Express on Sunset?
Yeah, it's back there behind, it's off, you know, the Sunset Plaza Theaters, and there's a bunch of restaurants back in there. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
So anyway, the officers arrived. This was yesterday afternoon, about 2:15 or 2:30, and found a man with a gunshot wound. And they asked the man what happened. He didn't want to talk. So they asked the girlfriend what happened, and thankfully the girlfriend did want to talk.
Yeah, yeah.
She said, "We were walking into the restaurant when my boyfriend saw a friend of his just pulling into the parking lot. So my boyfriend sent me into the restaurant and said, I'll be there in a second. He went to talk to his friend. Next thing I know, he's been shot."
Huh.
She says, "I don't know what happened, what they argued about or whatever, but my boyfriend was shot by this other person." They have arrested the other person, and the man that was shot was underwent emergency surgery. Looks like he's going to be okay. Which is really, like, you get shot in the belly, that, you know,
that's
that,
a belly shot.
Yeah, that's not. Ooh. Yeah, that's not necessarily going to turn out okay. No. But it looks like he is going to be okay. But this whole thing is a little.
What the heck's wrong with people?
Troubling. And the thing, Jack, is that this happens way too much now.
Yeah.
And I know it's populated. We're over 105,000, 110,000 now in St. George City. Mm-hmm. Over 200,000, maybe 250 in the county.
Yeah.
Stuff's going to start happening because the more people you get, the more likely this stuff is going to be. But, man, it's tough to hear every day. You know, when I come in here and I see these stories, I'm just like, man, what
That's happened? Here?
Yeah.
I know. Well, we can have Mayberry in our minds and hearts.
Yeah, it's true.
But we got to act like it's not when we're out on the... You know,
that's true.
I mean,
imagine you're going to get some Panda yesterday afternoon. No, I don't shop. I don't go eat out on Sundays usually, but some people do.
Yeah.
And I'm not condemning them for doing whatever you want, right? But you're going to Panda at 2:00 yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect
that. Shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
A shooting. Wow. I don't know. I mean, I know they're going to investigate it. More will come out in the next couple of days as to why there was a shooting, what happened. I assume there was some kind of altercation between the two, whether physical or verbal, and ended in gunfire. But, I mean, maybe it was accidental. I kind of doubt it.
Here, look at this. See what I got? Oh, sorry. Yeah. See you later.
Look at my new gun.
Yeah, but see you later.
Yeah.
If it was an accident, wouldn't you just sit there and call the cops and say... Yes, this is what happened, and everybody agrees it was an accident. I was showing him my new gun, but apparently he was left there alone. The alleged shooter took off.
That's the word, I guess.
Yeah,
I
so that's like, yeah, that's not
one other one other news item from yesterday. Yeah. The power was out for 1,200 Rocky Mountain Power customers last night for a while. People that living in Winchester Hills, Dameron Valley, and Diamond Valley, as well as a couple of locations across the county line into Iron County, lost power. According to Rocky Mountain Power, lightning struck near one of their power stations.
Uh-huh.
It didn't strike it, but it struck near it, and they shut it down on purpose to avoid a power surge. And then they were able to...
So it wasn't a fox or a skunk this time.
No, not this time. and I did want to mention it. They arraigned the accused cop killer. I need to be careful. Don't want to be sued. The alleged or accused cop killer up in Tremont. They arraigned him on Friday, and I wonder what we can read into this. As they arraigned him, and they did say the death penalty is on the table. The man sobbed. He cried the whole time. He visibly on camera while he was being arraigned was sobbing.
Yeah.
What do we take from that, Jack? Is he sobbing because the death penalty's on the table?
What was the...
Is he sobbing because...
Do we know the motive why he killed the guys?
Well, no.
It was a domestic...
All we have is the assumption. The cops have been called to that house many times, like 3 or 4 times already on domestic. My assumption is I'm not going to jail this time.
Oh.
But for him to murder 2 police officers is...
So
was he crying because he threw his life away? Is he crying because of the death penalty? What do you think he was crying?
I don't know. Who knows? I don't care.
Do you have a theory?
Maybe he's remorseful because, you know, his rage overtook him. It's possible. You know, as far as the death penalty is concerned, I'm of the opinion that you can either do a death penalty or you can do a, a prison without the possibility of parole. However, I think the problem with a life without the possibility of parole is not a fact or not a true statement. I think you can have future administrations and future parole boards and future this and future that and legislators that can change those things. Hmm. Or he could escape, possibly. But as far as the death penalty is concerned, I think that he gets... he gets what he deserves. It's a grim thing. To be honest with you, it's what really kind of fried me was that they spared the life of that monster in Idaho.
That murdered those kids
in their apartment in the middle of the night. That guy should have got the death penalty no matter what. I don't know for the life of me why they spared him on that.
Cold-blooded.
Yeah. You could have taken that to trial and probably got it, you know.
I think so, too.
So, I don't know.
The only thing
I'm not a prosecutor. What do I know?
A lot of times you hear the prosecutor say, we don't want to put the family through that. And that's why they make deals. But in this case, I'm with you on this. Look, take it to trial. He's guilty. I mean,
the family wants to see the guy that took away their loved one and confront him. They have that right.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have to be in the court. They don't have to turn on the news. I mean, yeah, it's going to be everywhere. But I think if you're going to have a death penalty, you need to use it once in a while. I don't know if that sounds harsh or not, but I don't know.
But that naturally leads us into the big death penalty case right now going on in the state of Utah. The guy's name is Ralph Menzies.
Mm-hmm.
He kidnapped and murdered a lady in 1986. What is that, 39 years ago?
Yeah.
He right now has dementia. And his attorneys claim he doesn't know anything at this point. His dementia has progressed to the point where he doesn't even know who he is.
Yeah.
And the prosecution says that's not true. He knows who he is. He is set to be executed by firing squad. You know, I think it's like 10 days, 11 days, something like that, on September 5th.
Yeah.
Jack, where are we supposed to land on this? I have taken the opinion, and I have said this on the air.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what he knows now. He knew. He didn't give the lady he murdered the opportunity she's sick. I shouldn't murder her. No, he killed her.
Yeah.
And I don't care if his mind is with him now or not. He did it.
I think it's interesting that there's a part of the law that says that a person has to be cognizant of what's going on in order to receive punishment.
Yeah, it doesn't make
sense. Well, there's probably a good reason for it. I'm not an attorney, so I don't know. But in that case, it feels like you're executing the body, but the mind's already gone, if that makes sense.
Kind of, yeah.
You know?
Kind of.
To me, again, it's sixes for that guy. They can execute him or not. I don't care.
One of the things the defense is saying is, look, he's going to die in the next year or two anyway of dementia. Because that's what happens. That's the progression of dementia. He said, let him die in prison. Have mercy.
I think if you have, like, for example, the Tremont and alleged shooter killer.
Alleged. Thank you.
Okay.
Don't get us sued.
If in the event he gets convicted, you know, you've got a pretty strong case that he's guilty. Right?
Yeah.
Why wait 40 years? To carry out the execution. You got to have the appeals. I guess I think the state requires an automatic appeal from a conviction resulting in a death. But there's an automatic appeal.
Yeah, automatic. Yep.
That's just fine. I agree. But I mean, the guy's sitting on death row for the one that we're talking about with the dementia.
Yeah, Menzies.
He's been sitting there for 40 years.
Yeah. Long time.
I don't know. What is the 80s to today? I mean, my family reunion or my class reunion's coming up. I
think it's 39 years he's been on.
Yeah,
death
40
row.
Years. Yeah. So. I don't know. I think it's, I don't know.
It's a long time.
These questions are better left to people who know more than I do. I will tell you this. My heart feels like I don't care if the guy's remorseful when he gets caught. What I care about is, you know, if he was mentally insane, maybe there's an excuse for, you know, maybe he was reckless endangerment and just shooting in the air and he happened to catch everybody. Who knows? I think if the result of your actions, you know, result in the cause of innocent life, then you need to pay for it, and I think severely.
Okay. You know, the thing about this Tremont guy, right?
Yeah.
Ryan Bate is his name, but it kind of bothers me that you and I have to say the alleged shooter, the alleged killer, everyone saw it. They have film of it. It's not like, you know, they investigated for 7 days or 3 months, and then they finally tracked him down. Yeah. This guy came out and shot two cops.
I was on video.
And you and I have to say alleged. We have to, except for I just said he came out. He allegedly came out and shot. See, I hate that. This should be as slam dunk a trial as there ever was in Utah State history.
Yeah, in a case like that, I mean, are you a fan of the comedian Ron White? The stand-up
comedian.
I know
Ron, yeah. I don't like that he has a cocktail in his hand at all times. But.
He used to say in Texas, if you've been committed of a murder and there's more than two credible witnesses, he says they execute you within a year.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, most people are putting off the death penalty. In Texas, we put in an express lane.
Quick checkout. Yeah.
So maybe that's the best thing. In a case when it's really open and shut, and there's really no defense as far as whether he did it or not. Yeah.
Well, and if you go back to Menzies, 39 years on death row, and they're saying, well, he has dementia now, you shouldn't kill him. Well, why has he been on death row for 39 years?
Yeah, I don't, for that, it's their fault. Yeah, and I understand the defense making that argument. I get it. That's his job. But I don't think that should negate what he did or what the punishment is that's already been adjudicated.
Yeah.
So all right. That's my opinion on that.
Last year there was a changing topics here. Last year there was a data breach on the Power School. Anybody that's had kids in a local school,
Power School,
knows what Power School is.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They do the grades there, sure. And you can check them as you're. Well, there was a data breach last year.
Okay,
and nothing happened right away, so they thought, okay, we're safe.
Oh, well, I know who did it.
Well, there's a new scam.
Oh, this
Jack. Yeah, yeah. There's a new scam.
Yeah.
People are calling parents and saying they're from either a university or they're from the ACT testing service,
uh-huh,
and saying they need to pay right away to get their have their child be eligible to go to their university or to.
Well, that wouldn't work on me.
I know, yeah. But officials say hackers have access to names, contact details, birth dates, and even occasionally some medical information, making the phone call sound very convincing. Steve Dunham from the Washington County School District urges parents to be cautious and verify any requests directly through the Washington County School District and never, ever, ever give out financial information to these people.
Did they catch the scammer?
Not yet.
Was his name Ferris Bueller?
Bueller.
Didn't he go in there and change his grades in the thing?
I don't know. I know he pretended to be.
I know, but in the beginning of the movie, he went in and changed his grades.
Yeah,
because of his absences.
I know he pretended to be. Computer. What was the girlfriend's name?
I don't remember that, but yeah.
Yeah, he pretended to be her dad. Picked her up in a Ferrari convertible.
Yeah. Such a great movie.
Bad movie. It was terrible. It was funny.
I'm trying to like the movies that are coming out. I'm just not. I'm sorry. We get off on that track. But I saw one.
Huh? What'd you see?
I don't even remember. They're so forgettable now.
That's not good. It clearly didn't make an impact on you if you don't remember.
No, not at all. Yeah. Mm. I think the last movie that I went and saw that I talked about, that the family talked about, was the Barbie movie.
Hmm. And I haven't seen that one.
It's funny because it was so political.
Mm-hmm.
It made you mad because it was so stupid. But then you ended up talking about it. So to me, that's kind of a clue that maybe this movie's got a little bit more, you know, oomph to it or something to it.
There was it came out the same time as that Oppenheimer movie. They were calling Barbenheimer because you had to see both of them again. I didn't see either.
Oh, Oppenheimer was it could have been better. I don't like the actor that played Oppenheimer was dude. It was, and it had. Sexually explicit scene in there was totally unnecessary.
That's what everybody tells me. He said there was like an orgy scene. And it didn't even need to be there.
It didn't need to be there. I don't know why they're doing that. Well, I do know why. I think the directors
are perverted. Young males to show up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Although you write a movie about an atomic bomb, young males are going to go anyway, aren't they?
Well, sure. You know. Well, and the thing is, but who cares? Our generation is interested in that because it happened within my parents' lifetime.
Yeah.
And World War II is still a strong memory, and we grew up watching World War II movies.
Not to mention the Cold War after
right,
that.
Right, right. So, you know, you're interested in you know, the boomer generation. I don't think the younger generation gives a crap about
probably
that.
Not. I don't feel we had this little back setting of angst amongst us because we knew at any moment
the bomb could drop.
Yeah, the whole world could be destroyed. We felt that.
My three daughters went to a movie a couple nights ago called, they said it was a K-pop movie.
Oh, yeah, K-pop horror. There was someone on the wire about that today, and I
said, what's K-pop? She says, Korean pop. And I go, why is that something you care?
Seriously.
And I said, girls, one day, you're going to be old enough, and something culturally is going to come across your, you know, to your attention. You're going to go, why is that thing?
It's true.
I said, it's going to happen. Trust me.
And they're not going to understand why that's a thing. And,
yeah.
And they're going to say, why is this a thing? And you're going to be like, well, here's the deal. Remember K-pop? We were thinking the same thing about that.
Yeah.
Unless we're dead.
Well, probably. Well, my wife and I were driving back from the airport in Vegas, and all of a sudden there's this traffic, just unbelievable traffic on the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't race day, you know, coming out of the valley, you know, where the racetrack is.
Yeah.
And everybody's wondering, we were in the van, we were in the shuttle coming from the airport, you know. So
yeah.
There was a bunch of us in the shuttle. And they said, oh, it's the EDM festival. What the heck's that?
EDM?
Electronic dance music.
Huh.
And it's there was like a half a million people. There was literally a half a million people there. Yeah, I know. I know. You're looking.
What?
You get that look like you don't.
Yeah,
and it's
what?
DJs. And there's
guys
five
on the little keyboard.
Yes, and it's five guys, and people are out there partying to the DJs at the thing, and they got RVs, and there's a half million people there.
This is at the raceway.
Yeah, and it's going on for 3 days, and I had no clue that it was there or what it was or anything. Of course, my kids knew what it was about.
EDM.
Right. I don't think it's ED something, but it's
okay.
ED's. Yeah.
By the way, the movie K-pop Demon Hunters,
uh-huh.
And they're coming out. I explain this to me. They're coming out
it's
with
anime.
They're coming out with a sing-along version of it.
Okay.
So you can not
kind
only
like Rocky
go to
Horror Picture Show?
Yeah, you can. They're coming out with a version you sing to it.
Cool.
To, I guess. But they made it. It made $18 million this weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
So apparently, I'm in the wrong business. Jack and I will be back after this. Right now, let's take a weather break here on KDXU.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, I have good news. Jack can hear through the headphones.
I have my hearing now.
Hey, that's good to hear. It's always good to be able to hear yourself. I know it's funny when people first come here, like they've never been on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
They say, "Do I have to wear these?" I'm like, "No, you don't have to wear them. If we get a caller, you'll have to put the headphones on, or if you want to hear how you sound." And they're like, "Oh, I hate the way I sound. I don't want to wear them."
Yeah.
And then you almost always within the first 5 or 10 minutes are putting the headphones on.
Yeah, yeah,
because they want to hear.
Yeah.
What's happening? So, Jack, I have a story here for you. There's something most people do without even knowing that they're doing it. Do you have an idea of what it is? Well, I'll let Bree tell you about it.
Psychologists say about 60% of the population hums a song, a melody, even gibberish. They say keep it up because it's good for you. Humming manages mood, relieves stress, and sometimes it helps to get an earworm out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
It has health benefits, too. Improved breathing, lower blood pressure. It's not addictive, fat-free, and if you hear someone humming, you'll most likely join in. So it's kind of social. I'm Bree Tennis.
Kind of. Do-do-do-do.
Mm-hmm. You hum?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I do that much. I do have songs in my brain that I can't get out.
Yeah,
right now, I've had one for 2 days, and it kept me up half the night.
Do you want to share with us?
It's Scenes from an Italian Restaurant by Billy Joel.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that song yesterday.
A lot of piano now.
I love that song.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
Good song. But I could not sing it. I mean, you have it stuck in your head. The reason it's not stuck in my head is I couldn't. I mean, if you said Piano Man or something, I'd be like, okay, that's stuck in my head.
Bottle of red, and a bottle of white.
There you go.
Kind of mood you're in tonight.
I was thinking about what this story this morning when I got here about humming, and I'm like, I don't recall humming. I wonder if humming is one of those things that you do and don't even know you do it.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I was thinking something else, but I won't say it now.
Okay.
Incriminate me.
Both of us, though, said, oh, no, I don't hum. But I wonder if we do and we don't realize it.
I sing.
You sing. I sing, too.
I sing.
Yeah,
I'm a singer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, in fact, if anybody sees me in the car and a good song's on, I'm probably singing to it all
No, day. But, I mean, when I, like when she said on the report that the, you know, the earworm thing,
mm-hmm.
and hum it, right? Yeah. I sing it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Somebody said, I was
meet
reading.
You anytime you want.
I was reading about earworms.
Restaurant.
There you go. That the best way to get them out of your head is to sing them out loud and it will go away. I don't know if that's true.
I try listening to the song again.
Okay.
And sometimes it works. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with earworm songs is it's usually a song that I mean, the one you got stuck in, that's actually a pretty good song. But a lot of times you get, you know, Baby Shark or something like that stuck in your head. I do not want to sing this song, but I can't.
Yeah, I've had that too.
Macarena, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Like,
I'm sorry for those of you that are now singing those in your head and we'll have them stuck there. I apologize. I will not do you the disservice of actually playing any of those right now.
Yeah.
So... But if you have to get a song stuck in your head, the latest one for me was, you ever heard of the song Texas Flood by Joan Lee Hooker sang it first, but then it was Stevie Ray Vaughan.
It doesn't come to mind.
It's flooding down in Texas. All the telephone lines are down. You know, it's an old blues song.
Yeah.
I love that song, but that one gets stuck in my head. Occasionally.
Wow. Yeah,
but at least it's a good song. It's kind of a bluesy jazz thing.
So
there's nothing wrong with that. All right, a couple of other things I wanted to get to today. Let's talk a little bit about addictions. Now, if you said addiction in, say, the 60s, probably most people would think heroin, right?
Uh-huh.
80s, you probably cocaine.
Cocaine.
Right? Marijuana has been a thing over the years, too. But when you talk about addictions in 2025, what's the first thing that pops into your head? Telephone. Yeah, smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it is both the boon, the greatest thing ever to this date in history, and maybe one of the worst things ever because of our addiction problem.
Yeah.
So if you ever gone in a room full of sometimes teenagers, but other people too, and there's 6, 8, 10 people sitting around the room and not one of them is speaking to each other because they're all tappity-tap-tapping.
Yeah. The worst is when they're sitting around the dinner table and everybody's on their phone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had a no phones at the dinner table rule in our house.
I got a picture of my family at the airport. But, yeah, it's a layover. But they're all on their phone.
Everybody
all my girls and my wife.
There have been times, and I'm trying very consciously. I think that's part of the battle, is recognizing it's a problem and consciously trying to fix it. When I'm with, like we have a Sunday night dinner usually with me and my wife and my dad and other family members.
Yeah.
And there was a while there, I would say maybe a year ago, where after dinner was over, we're sitting around the living room, and everybody would slowly slide, you know, one person would do it, slide the phone out, and then someone maybe sitting a couple seats over say, oh, well, they're on their phone. Maybe I'll check mine. And before you know it, the whole room, everybody's looking at
the screen. Well, I think we get conditioned to it. I recall a couple years ago, well, it's probably been more than that, but the phone had been out, and we were, the cell phone. Anyway, I was with a bunch of buddies, and we were in the Grand Canyon. And I remember the first night around.
In the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
The most beautiful, maybe one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Well, this is the story. Let me finish it.
I know. I just
I brought my phone only because when I came out, I wanted to text my wife and let her know that, hey, we hiked out and we're fine.
We're alive.
You know, we were down for 3 days.
Okay.
First night around the campfire, nobody talked. We all just sit and stared at each other. But by the third night, everybody's telling stories. Everybody's talking. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's talking. So it took like a day and a half. To kind of deprogram.
Yeah.
But by the third night, it was like we didn't miss them. I didn't feel like I was stressed out about it. I was telling stories. All the guys were telling stories. We were joking. And, you know, it was really, I noticed it big time. Because I remember that very first night, everybody was just like staring at each other.
Nobody had what to do.
Didn't know what to do. Yeah. It was so weird. And there was four or five of us, you know.
Yeah,
guys.
All guys, and usually you guys hang out, and you can at least, you're going to start with sports.
It was quieter, and I remember thinking to myself, what am I supposed to do now?
And there were no cell signals.
No, there was. I think one of us had the phone, and he turned on some music that he had downloaded. And the other one had a program where you could look at the stars and tell what stars are what.
Oh, that's cool.
So we were looking at the sky because it was just, you know, amazing, you know.
But there was no Lord of the Flies moment, though, or anything like that.
No.
You're cut off from technology and you've elected.
No, we were, you know, we did this hike, you know, together as a group, you know, for a number of years. But I just thought that it was amazing that there was really not a lot of talking that first night. And then by the third night, everybody was chatting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. In this article by Paul on Freeman's with an S, perspective.com, he talks about some of the problems with being addicted to smartphones. One of them is, he says, you know, back in the old days, if you got a group of people together, usually the most extreme ideas would take hold, and the mob mentality, they call it. He said now, it used to be a really rare thing, though. Like, when do you have a group of 30 people together and, you know, or a jury or whatever it is? He said, but now you have mob mentality on social media. Mm-hmm. You have groups of people who are not really groups of people, but they're in the same chat room or the same, they're commenting on the same article. And that's when those extreme ideas that kind of mob mentality comes out.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems with the addiction to smartphones.
Well, and you can see it in certain people's comments on social media, or you can see it on, because I have some friends in my social media that I don't agree with, and I've got a cousin that's, he's interesting. He just kind of parrots what the anti-Trump people say. And maybe he's thought it through, maybe he doesn't. I don't challenge my people I disagree with, and I always tell them, I says, I appreciate, you know, that you're brave enough to say what you say, but, you know, I always want to know what the other side's thinking. I always try to understand what's that point of view.
I have a few of those
I try not to give people a hard time for things I don't agree with, but I think that sometimes, like in protests, and I've been watching these YouTube videos of protesters and you know, people getting arrested or whatever, and it's like, you guys haven't thought this through, guys. I'm sorry, but you're out here holding a sign. There, I guess there was a woman that was holding a sign that said something to the effect of, oh, crap, now I'm on the spot. But it had something that it was a school board. It was, okay, so the lady that's running for governor of Virginia, and she, it's a trans issue. Oh, crap. And it said, if you don't let trans women into women's spaces, then I'm not going to allow black people to drink from my fountain.
I saw that.
Did you see that? Yeah. Something like that, that sign?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And that was just amazing. So I got off track. But I think people just sometimes don't think things through, and they just follow. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure why that. I think people want to really be a part of the crowd, the in crowd, whatever their in crowd is.
That'd be cool.
They want to be part of that in crowd. And I'm sure all of us have a part of ourselves that do that. And like you were saying, the thing is magnifies. It magnifies one way or the other.
Big time. Big time. One of the things Paul Rosenberg writes on his article, and pretty good article, by the way, you can go freemansperspective.com. It's called The 21st Century Addictions. At the end of his article, he said, I'm going to stop railing about this and let you guys make your own decision, except for this one last thing. He says, if you can't unplug and walk away, the algorithm owns you, and it will abuse you for as long as it does. As long as it owns you, it will abuse you. So if you're getting your highs, your dopamine, from the likes or whatever.
Yeah. Jordan Peterson once said, people don't have ideas. Ideas have people.
And I will follow that with, people don't want to hear your opinion. They want to hear their opinion coming out of your mouth.
Ooh, I like that one.
We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. Is this your earworm today, the Andy Griffith theme? Maybe. By the way, there's a version of this song.
Yeah.
That a parrot whistles online. If you go to YouTube and put the Andy Griffith theme, they've got one of a parrot and he whistles the whole song.
Oh my gosh.
It's impressive. I don't know how it learned it, but
I bet that household is very happy.
Yeah.
Because that means they watch the Andy Griffith show a lot.
That's right.
And they listen to the Andy Griffith show.
Hopefully they take it to heart. All right. This is kind of an Andy Griffith theme, right? Being a man. What does it mean to be a man?
A man,
yeah. Right? That definition, I feel like, has changed over the years.
Uh-huh.
Not changed, but kind of shifted back and forth and around. And, you know, the born out of all that was a phrase called toxic masculinity, which, you know, there's always, when you try to define something, there's always going to be extremes that are bad. And if you say, I believe it's good for a man to be masculine, I do. Yes, there are people who are too masculine, guys that abuse women or guys that expect women to, you know, to cater to them or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying a man should be a man, right? You're a man. I mean, look, you got the gun show going on and you're a man, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Last time I checked.
That's a good thing. Jeff Minnick on Intellectual Takeout writes a story, said, making good men is not rocket science. And he starts his article saying, the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius wrote, waste no more time arguing what a good man should be. Just be one.
Yeah, that's
Ooh.
A good That's
Ooh,
good.
I like that.
That's good.
You know,
that's good.
Instead of trying to, what is a man? Should I be doing this? Should I be? Being a man to me means being a strong leader, doing what's right, being honest, all these things that you can, and you don't have to be.
I think, and I think another big part of that, and mm-hmm. this is something that was instilled in me by my mother and father, was to protect women's virtue and protect women.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. In fact, given that I've had some health issues the last 5 or 6 years, I feel part of that part of me being a man has been somewhat diminished, because I think in a pinch I could still do what I needed to do physically to defend my wife, but I'm not as strong or as masculine as I used to be just because I have health problems.
Right.
So
yeah.
But
that doesn't mean you're not a man. A man is.
Right.
Again, and growing up, I always thought that a man wasn't just about being an adult as a male, mm-hmm. but it also had characteristics that were assigned to it. You know, you grow up and be a man type thing, or mm-hmm. a man was someone who, like I said, defended women, protected weaker people. Did the right thing, you know, knew the difference. You know, it's like, what's the saying? When I was a child, I thought childish things or something like that. And when I grew up, I put away childish things, something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to grow up and you have to become an adult and you have to be an example. I always felt like until I had a child, I was not fully a man. That was just my personal definition for
me. You do not learn what it means to sacrifice yourself until you have a child. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, a quick story. I have a friend who was a star football player.
Mm-hmm.
Man's man, is in high school and in college. Just a star. He was a stud. He was the best on the team. But when he was in high school, they had this kid move in, little nerdy kid. And what happens to nerdy kids in high school?
They tend to get picked on.
They get picked on big time. So this stud, best athlete in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Colleges were slobbering over him, trying to get him a scholarship. Mm-hmm. He was that good.
Mm-hmm.
He decided he didn't like to see people pick on this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he befriended him. And anybody that tried to pick on him, they had to go through him.
Right.
And it turned into a wonderful friendship.
Yeah.
And later on in life, this nerdy kid formed and created what ended up being a multi-million, probably billion-dollar company now.
Mm-hmm.
And he hired his friend who did other stuff, but mm-hmm. he hired his friend part-time to manage part of his company.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he needed him to do that, but because that friend basically stuck up for him for several years.
And he knew he could trust
school.
Him.
And he said, you know what, I want to reward you for being, for stepping up. I mean, you know, how many jocks would be like, I don't have time for that nerdy picked on kid. I'm doing my own thing. But he stepped up and he did it. To me, that's a great story of being a man, of mm-hmm. stepping up and going, you know what, I see somebody who needs help and I'm going to help them.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So. Anyway.
I don't know, and I think it's also doing things that are unique to the male side of the spectrum. I used to just love going deer hunting with my dad. It mm-hmm. was like the thing to do. And then when he got too old to do it, I would take him a couple of times, and he would sit in the truck because he couldn't walk, you know, too far, and I would go deer hunting. But those kinds of things, you know, he taught me to shoot, and he said, don't ever kill something unless you're going to eat it.
Okay.
Don't ever point a gun at anyone, even if you think it's unloaded. In fact, don't point a toy gun at anyone.
Mm.
So when we were playing cops and robbers and cowboys and Indians, it wasn't as much fun. His dad said, don't you dare point that at somebody.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. Don't threaten someone. Don't say, I used to say, I'm going to kill you. And mom and mother would say, don't say that because you don't mean it.
Yeah.
You know, I think things like that, parents have such a big role to play in creating young men and especially fathers and a young man learns how to become a man, or a boy learns how to become a man by watching the example of those adult men around him, whether it's his father or his uncles or whoever. And if those are good examples, then that's mostly what you get. Not every time, of course, but...
And if you don't think people are watching you, guess what? Especially young people, they're watching.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've always been a big believer in this, is kids learn more by example than anything. You can tell a teenager something 50 times, but if they see you acting contrary to what you just said, right. They're going to notice.
Yep.
They're going to notice that kind of
thing. Yeah, I'm not listening to your words because your actions are so loud.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a saying back over here.
Oh, is that right there? That's where I saw that.
There, yeah.
Back on the wall in Andy's office.
My wall.
In the studio.
Yeah. In this article, Minnick talks about, he said, I think men instinctively know what being a man is. Like, it's in there. And even though anyone will struggle to define, to give you the exact words of what being a man means, he said, you think about a kid and they're, you know, they get the swords out and they're playing swords and you say, hey, what are you doing? I'm fighting the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's what being a man is all about, fighting the bad guys, right?
That's right.
We know it's in there. So instead of arguing over what a man is or isn't, really do like the Emperor Aurelius wrote. Waste no more time arguing what a good man should be, but be one.
Mm-hmm.
Be a good man.
Right? Okay.
Right. Be a good, and I think that would extend to be a good husband, be a good boss.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I watched a story last night about a guy who was beloved by all, and he ended up getting murdered by a disgruntled ex-whatever person. But everyone wanted to see the bad guy, the murderer, get busted because this guy was such a good man.
Mm-hmm.
And they just felt like, you know, if you have... This is not nice to say, but if you have a terrible boss and he gets murdered, you're like, oh, that's a shame. But this guy was a good boss and a good guy.
Yeah, so. We've all had those kinds of bosses at some point in our career.
One final thought, Jack. Last night, sitting over dinner, talking with some friends, and they're older. They're in their 80s now. And I was talking about how my son wanted me to go do something, and I can't really do it anymore. And they said, yeah, one of the hard things I think for kids is as their parents age, remember, they're in their early 80s.
Yeah.
I'm now pushing 60. You're in your 60s. Kids don't realize we can't do as much as we used to do.
Yeah.
We can't do certain things that we used to do. They were talking about how they used to get down on their hands and knees and pull weeds to around the edge of my dad's yard to help him out.
Uh-huh.
Well, they can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And they said, our kids don't understand that. And that can be a little bit frustrating for the kids because I'm sure my son sees me as the 30-something-year-old dad that helped raise him, but I'm not. I'm almost 60 years old and have these health problems.
Reality sucks sometimes.
Reality does suck sometimes. But the fact that we're still alive and we have to maybe change our expectations a little bit. And
well, you know, we just do our best. You know, I try to stay healthy so I can be there for when the kids and that want to go do something that's a little more strenuous. So
my dad's 90. We really want him to go on this trip, and you know, he might have to say, you know what, guys, you got to temper your expectations. I'm 90. I can't just go on a trip.
Trips are hard.
They are a lot of work.
Trips are a lot of work.
If there are airports involved.
If there are airports involved, it's nuts.
Yeah. Jack Lancaster, I'll try to get him on as often as I can. He'll be on soon again, I promise.
Right, okay.
Right.
Yes, I will be back.
Good.
I'll be back.
Thanks for being here, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
We're out of time. Tomorrow, SGPD. We're going to talk law enforcement here on KDX.